Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of a powerful book written by Jarrett Stevens. But first, here's Dr. Graham with his message, The Soul's Fountain of Youth.
Take your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 40, and I want to speak to you on the subject, The Soul's Fountain of Youth. In 1513, explorer Ponce de Leon came to the eastern coast of what is now America, Florida, in search of that mythical, magical elixir, the Fountain of Youth. People have longed for life and the fullness of life and more life. And so this explorer came looking for the Fountain of Youth. He never found it, but had he looked in God's Word, the promises of God's Word, had he dipped into the Word of God, he would have discovered the real Fountain of Youth. And these words, the Word of God, bring life, because this book, the Bible, the Scriptures, is a living book. In fact, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means the word inspire, it's like expire. God has breathed out and breathed in His Word. And so when men gave us the Scriptures, the human hands that penned the Scripture, they wrote by the breath of God, the Spirit of God. So the life of God is in this book. This is a living book. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 40, it says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Why? Because this book is alive. God is in this book. And it will never die. So in God's Word, we find God's very presence. We find His power. It is a life-giving book. God's Word gives life to the believer, practical guidance for every day, enabling us to find promises and precepts that help us overcome difficult circumstances. When we're in the Word of God is in us, bringing inner and indescribable peace. The Word of God strengthens our faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's Word. The Word of God tells us of our future and our hope with Him forever and ever. And so when you're looking for life with a capital L, life that is full, life that is fresh, perpetual, you won't find it in the myth of some medicine or some mythical fountain of youth, but you'll find it in God Himself, in God's Word that He has delivered to us. So the soul's fountain of youth energizes us every day. Now, everywhere I go, people tell me they are tired. And so as we begin this message today from Isaiah chapter 40, I want to speak to you, first of all, of this problem of exhausted strength. Because God has promised us strength for every day. In fact, Deuteronomy 33, verse 25, your strength will be equal to your days. Your strength will be equal to your days. You ought to get up every morning as a believer and know that there is enough strength that God will give you for every day to get done anything and everything you need to get done. As long as you live in the presence of His Spirit and in the power of His Word, there is strength for you. And that strength for you is recorded in Isaiah chapter 40. And we're going to begin reading in verse 28. For it says, have you not known, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah the prophet mentions this problem of exhausted strength when he says even young men are exhausted and weakened. And whatever your age, younger or older, there is one spa for the soul, and it is the Scriptures. I love these verses about the fountain of youth. Proverbs 14:27, it says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. And then Psalm 36 and verse 9, for you are the fountain of life. That is, God Himself is the fountain of life, the light by which we see. Or listen to this, the words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. Have you noticed those who bring refreshing words are like a fresh fountain of life? Then, of course, the words of Jesus in John's gospel. When he said, he who believes in me, out of his innermost being, that is deep within, literally, he used the word for the womb. From the womb, from the inner person, shall flow rivers of living water. And then Jesus added, or the scripture adds, and this he spoke of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is a life-giving flow, a life-giving fount for all who believe and follow Jesus. And then the last verses of the Bible. Jesus says in Revelation 21, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. If you're thirsty, Jesus is the water of life. Now, as we think about exhausting strength, again, it's a problem for young and old, but it is a time maybe to address one of the problems that people face, and that's the problem of aging, getting older. And maybe your back is telling you today, you're getting older, or your knee, or your shoulder. And every birthday is a reminder that we're getting older and of our own mortality. The fact is, birthdays are good for you. Because people who have more birthdays live longer. When you're younger, I think you feel, you know, kind of immortal, indestructible. I know I did. I mean, coming out of college, those 20-something years, 30, you know, you're just going full throttle and you don't think it's ever going to end. Life has limitless opportunities in front of you. And I know that's not true for everyone, but it's true for so many. People have just this energy going into those early years of life, the first quarter and the second quarter. But sometime along the way, maybe at midlife, maybe when you're 50 or 60, you begin to realize that there are more days behind you than in front of you. Now, that really doesn't depress me all that much. It only encourages me and motivates me more to use the days that God has given us right in front of us today and this day, and every day is a gift from God. It only motivates me all the more to finish well. And big games are often won in the last 2 minutes or in the last quarter or the last inning. And aging is something we all must accept. Now, of course, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a huge advantage. Because not only do you have the strength of God, but you know you have a future, eternal life beyond this life. You have the life of Christ. Paul said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. People want to know, is there life after death? Yes, in Jesus. Is there life after life? Yes, in the Lord Jesus Christ. One problem is that so many people don't have life after life. They're the walking dead. And maybe you're walking around feeling dead, but there's life in Christ. And so we need to accept the fact that we're aging. Embrace your season of life. You know, sadly, many people don't have the opportunity to get old. But if you're here, you're here for a purpose. And remember, while you must grow older, you don't have to grow old. You don't have to grow old. It's not how old you are, but how you are old that matters the most. It's also a time to embrace grace. There may be the assumption that some have that, you know, when you get, you know, maybe in the last quarter, the last leg, that it's time to slow down a little bit, take off the pedal a little bit, relax a little more and take it easy for the rest of your life, that you're on the home stretch now and that you kind of arrived spiritually. I mean, there's just not that much left, but far from it. The longer you're in this thing called life, the longer you're running the race of life, the more we need the strength and the power of God. The Apostle Paul said, I haven't arrived. I haven't obtained the crown. But in Philippians chapter 3, he said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press on to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. There's still so much for you to do in life and in ministry for Jesus Christ as his servant. And if you're not dead, you're not done. So never coast. 1 Corinthians 15:58. My beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Always abounding. That's literally a word which means jumping up and down. Always excited and enthusiastic about life and the calling of God upon your life. I never want to stop growing in my relationship with Jesus. I want to get not just older, I want to get better. I want to get wiser. And therefore, we press on. Many people worry about age resulting in a shriveled and wrinkled body. But I'm more concerned about age creating a shriveled, shrinking, wrinkled soul. Don't let your soul shrink. Don't let your spirit wrinkle.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and his message, The Soul's Fountain of Youth. Pastor, this month we have a special gift for our listeners who give a gift to PowerPoint. It's a book by Jarrett Stevens called The Mountains Are Calling. What can you tell us about this great resource?
Throughout the Bible, God often met his followers on mountaintops, and he still wants to meet with you there today to provide clarity for two big, big questions. One, who is God? And who are you? My good friend Jarrett Stevens discusses these life-changing mountaintop experiences in his inspiring book, The Mountains Are Calling. And I want to send you a copy today as thanks for your gift to help us reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ through PowerPoint.
Call today and get The Mountains Are Calling as our thank you for your gift. And when you give right now, your donation will be matched by a generous matching grant. So call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. Now let's get back to today's message, The Soul's Fountain of Youth.
Now let me give you a backstory to Isaiah 40:31. This is one of those great promises that many of us have marked and memorized. This one's embedded in my brain. It was written, in fact, all of Isaiah chapter 40 to the end, chapter 66, was written, given by Isaiah the prophet to comfort the Jewish refugees who were displaced in the Babylonian captivity. Because of rebellion, the Israelis were carried off in chains and captivity in Babylon for 70 long years. And Cyrus, the king of Persia, which is now Iran, by the way, Babylon is now Iraq. But after 70 years, right on schedule, as God had told them, the pagan king, Cyrus of the Iranians or Persians, let them go back. But it was a long and arduous journey back, and the rebuild was overwhelming. When you read the story in the Bible of Nehemiah or the story of Ezra, it's all about the rebuilding of lives and the rebuilding of families, the rebuilding of Israel and Jerusalem and the temple. And so after these long years of struggle and shame, they were broken and weakened. God gave this word to the Israelite, to the refugees that are going to their homeland. They're on the run, but they're going back home, and it was a brutal trip. And they needed encouragement. They needed strength for the journey to keep going and not just give up. They needed divine power and comfort. So God gave them this word. Isaiah 40 begins with the famous words put to music, comfort ye my people. Comfort is a very strong word. Comfort means to strengthen the heart, to strengthen the inner person. Comfort my people. So it's all written for comfort and encouragement. And so as I noted earlier, verse 8 of chapter 40, we're talking about the peril of exhausted strength. They needed comfort, but that comfort comes from the eternal word of God. And then it says in verse 9, because now we're getting to what I'm going to call the principle of exchanged strength. He said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, which literally means to change or exchange, to renew weakness for strength. So what kind of strength are we talking about? What kind of power energizes the believer's life? Well, look at verse 9. Go up to a high mountain and herald, O Zion, herald of the good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. You know, the good news of Jesus Christ ultimately came out of Jerusalem, out of an empty tomb. The good news of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Who would have believed that in the brokenness and the bondage of the Israelis at this time, that out of Jerusalem, out of that bondage would come this beautiful message of salvation. Oh, Jerusalem, herald of the good news. That's what we are about as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We herald the good news of Jesus Christ and say to the cities of Judah, watch this, behold your God. Look at your God. And he goes on to describe the greatness and the almightiness of God. When you are facing struggles and trials and difficulties and weakness and sorrow and death and pain and all the struggles that come with life's journeys, because we are pilgrims on this planet, but when you have it, get your eyes off yourself, off your problems. And the prophet says, look at your God. Behold, ponder your God. Contemplate the greatness of your God. Look at your God. He has not abandoned you. And shout it from the rooftop. Here is your God. So when you're discouraged, when you're defeated, when you're brokenhearted, when you seemingly have lost everything, your God, look to him because he's everything you need. These verses tell us of this principle of exchange strength. When we're weak, he is strong. I want to show you several of these verses along the way. For example, down in verse 12 of Isaiah 40. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span? Just look at your hand for a moment. The hollow of your hand is when you cup your hand. That's the hollow of your hand. How much water, how many ounces of water do you think you could hold in your hand? One or two, maybe three? The Bible is saying God holds all the oceans in his hands. The Pacific, the Atlantic, the Mediterranean, the Black Sea, all of them in the palm of his hand. And in the palm of his hands are the scars of his cross. He holds the oceans in his hands. And don't you know, if he can hold the oceans in his hands, that he can hold you. The span of his hand, that's the length of the thumb to the pinky right there. What is it, about 8 inches here on my hand? It says the hand of God is the expanse of the firmament, of the heavens, of the universe. Think about that. We're exploring new distances in the planetary system and beyond. And this beautiful, picturesque language of the power of God is saying just the span of his hand encompasses the universe. That's the power of God, almighty, all-knowing, all-seeing, almighty. You're in his hand, and he never lets go. That doesn't hold you fast and strengthen you in the challenges of life. Then nothing will. The Apostle Paul said, when we're weak, that's when we're strong. He said the inner person, though the outward person is decaying and dying, the inner person is strengthened every single day. That's 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. Don't lose heart. Don't lose courage. But trust in God. That's the principle of exchange strength. And one final word as we close. There is the power of enduring strength. There's the problem of exhausting strength. We've all got it. Regardless, young or old, how old you are, how aged you are or not, we all have just so much energy. We exhaust our strength. But then there's the promise, there is the principle, rather, of the exchange strength, that when we're weak, he's strong, that there's enough strength. As your days, so will your strength be. And why is that so? Because we have this promise of enduring strength. He talks about an eagle soaring. He talks about an athlete running. And he talks about a pedestrian walking. And says, as the eagle flies and soars, as the runner runs and doesn't grow weary, as the walker keeps going and plodding and moving through life, that's the strength that you have. When we were in Alaska, we saw many bald eagles. Eagles are majestic birds. They fly high. They don't grovel down in chicken coops. They don't do well in captivity. They were made for the skies. And I discovered that eagles, because they have large eyes, larger than human eyes, they have superhero powers with their eyes. They can see great distances. It's almost like, scientists tell us, like telescopic vision. 8 times more powerful than the human eye can see. Have you ever heard of somebody having an eagle eye? The eagles having tremendous vision. Eagles have powerful feet with talons that can grip like a vise. Their beaks are as sharp as a hunting knife, and it's designed to kill and crush their food. They have all these powers, but most of all, the eagle is made to fly. To fly, to soar at incredible speeds. They fly at up to 60 to 80 miles per hour. Their wingspan is up to 8 feet. But they don't flap their wings when they fly, like a sparrow or like a little hummingbird. In fact, when the eagles fly, do you know what they do? They spread their wings and they catch the updraft of the wind and soar to the clouds, because they were designed to glide on the currents of the wind. They were designed to soar above the earth. So eagles fly on the updraft of the wind. They fly without exertion. They just spread their wings and fly. What a picture. It's not our human exertion. It's not our efforts, flapping harder, trying harder. But by faith, we just spread our wings and catch the draft of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, God's promises, and we can soar in the heavenlies. In fact, we're told that we're not to dwell on things below. Colossians 3 and verse 2 says, don't dwell on things below. Don't set your affections on things below, but set your mind, your heart on things above. Soar. We are not made to be earthlings. We are made to rise above every call and every challenge of our lives, to catch again the updraft and just soar like an eagle. Be heavenly minded. Let heaven and hope be the habit of your heart. That's where the strength is. That's where the power is. All of God's word is like the wind. And there's the updraft of God's promises. So spread your wings and fly on the promises of God.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham. And today's message, the soul's fountain of youth. God calls each one of us to know and experience His Word, living it out in practical ways to impact our world for Christ. That's what PowerPoint is all about, and that's what you can make possible for more people across the globe through your gift today. And thanks to a $50,000 matching grant, your gift will be doubled. We'll say thanks for your support by sending you a copy of an inspiring new book by Jarrett Stevens, The Mountains Are Calling, to help you get a clearer view of who God is, who you are in His eyes, and all He's calling you to accomplish. So call now to get your copy of The Mountains Are Calling when you give, and your donation will go twice as far to proclaim Christ till the whole world hears. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
As you've been listening today, the Spirit of God has taken the Word of God, and you are ready. You are responsive in receiving Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. I want to give you an opportunity right now. It's really why we do what we do, and that is to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus lived and died for you and rose again, you can have eternal life. You can know that your sins are forgiven, that He paid the price on the cross to deliver you from your sin and deliver you from judgment, which is to come without Him. And right now, if you would put your faith and trust in Jesus by calling on His name, Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So will you confess Him as your Lord and Savior today? Will you receive Him into your life? If so, pray a prayer like this. Lord, I know that I've sinned, and I need You to be my Savior. I believe You died on the cross for me and rose again to give me eternal life. I turn from my sin and trust in You. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Take control of my life. Be my Lord, my Savior, my Master, and my friend. Amen. If you prayed and invited Christ into your life, then welcome to the family of God. I wish I was there to slap a big high five or give you a big hug, because this is life's greatest moment. I really do want you to connect with us and let us know of your decision to begin following Christ. We have follow-up materials that will help you grow in your faith as your new life in Christ becomes a part of your everyday walk with Him. We want to hear from you. We want to pray for you. We want to encourage you, and we want to bless you in Jesus' name. So take the next step right now. Having received Christ into your life, take the next step by contacting us here at PowerPoint. There's someone standing by who can't wait to encourage you in your faith.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Today, if you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we'd love to hear from you so we can help you to begin your new life with Christ. Please call us at 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to being with you again next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.